Welcome to the Divergent Files podcast. So what if the world isn't drifting off course, but following a schedule? People talk about 1988. Some talk about 2012. But almost nobody talks about 2036. And yet, if the pattern is real, that's the year everything changes. You'll see why some researchers call it the next reality reset, and why it might show up in your home long before it hits the news. So picture this. There's a kid sitting at the kitchen table, math homework spread out, laptop open, the room quiet except for the hum of the fridge. He looks up at his mom and asks, "Why does everything feel different this year?" She laughs at first, one of those tired, nervous laughs parents do when they're trying to keep things normal. But she knows what he means. The sky looks off. Time feels weird. Old memories don't line up right. And for the first time, she wonders if these little shifts aren't mistakes, but instead messages. Because what do you do when your own timeline feels like someone moved the furniture while you were sleeping? What does that mean for you or your kid if the world is changing under your feet without telling you why? And here's where the trail begins. Tonight, we're going to dig into the cycles, the solar storms, the magnetic wobbles, the ancient calendars, and the strange human glitches that always show up before a big shift. We're going to pull receipts, real data, real files, and the weird breadcrumbs hidden in places people rarely bother to check. And we're going to ask the questions almost everyone avoids. Why do these 24-year cycles keep landing on global turning points? Why do governments quietly prep for events they pretend aren't coming? And why does it feel like the world is already getting ready for something it doesn't want to explain? So let's follow the pattern. Let's follow the signals. Because if 1988 was the patch and 2012 was the lock-in, then we need to know what's waiting for us in 2036. This is Divergent Files. The weird thing isn't that people talk about 2036. It's that so many institutions avoid it. Like there's a clock running and everyone's pretending they don't hear it ticking. Because here's the part almost nobody notices. Every 24 years, something in the world shifts. It happened in 1988. It happened again in 2012. And now that same cycle lands on 2036, a year that keeps showing up in places you never expect to find it. And it's here we hit our first breadcrumb, the missing file, a small, almost forgotten NOAA bulletin from the late 1980s, just a few paragraphs mentioning anomalous geomagnetic variance and an unexpected spike in atmospheric resonance. Nobody followed up. Nobody explained it. It just sits there, quiet, like a warning someone shelved. And then comes the overlooked overlap, a strange little pattern hiding inside three different decades. 1988 saw a solar peak and a global tech shift. 2012 closed out a 5,125-year calendar cycle and marked a sudden jump in digital dependency. In 2036, that year lines up with the next solar max window, the next global tech leap, and the same 24-year cadence that runs like a pulse through recent history. Most people shrug this off as just coincidence. But cycles don't lie. They repeat, they echo, and sometimes, if you pay attention, they warn you. So let's dig in. Because if 1988 was the patch and 2012 was the lock-in, then the countdown we're following didn't start on the internet. It started in the sky. And the closer we get to 2036, the louder that clock gets. Let's pull the thread. Let's see where this pattern actually leads. Thank you. Most people remember 1988 as loud and colorful, arcades glowing, music shifting, the world suddenly moving faster. But if you ask people who lived through it long enough, they'll tell you something felt strange that year. Like the world took a breath it didn't normally take. And here's where things get a little weird. Because while we were busy living life, Earth itself was misbehaving. Solar storms were stronger than NASA projected. Sunspots came in hotter, in tighter clusters. Magnetometers around the world picked up background turbulence nobody expected. It wasn't dramatic enough to make the news. It was enough to make the right scientists nervous. You wouldn't know any of this unless you dug real deep. Like, real deep. In a forgotten NASA archive, the kind of room where paper goes to be erased without shredders, there's a tiny three-page bulletin from 1988. The title is painfully boring. Something like, Preliminary Observations of Solar Terrestrial Coupling Behavior. But halfway down page 2, there's a single line that shouldn't exist. A scientist notes an unexpected resonance deviation not observed in earlier cycles. Unexpected deviation not observed before. Then the paper ends. No follow-up, no peer review, no conference talk. Just silence. Like someone decided we didn't need to think about that too hard. And while the sun was spiking above us, the world was changing underneath us. If you step back and look at 1988 through the wide lens, the alignment becomes pretty hard to ignore. That's the year the first major internet backbone lit up. The year microchips shrank and jumped a generation. The year that banks began linking digital across borders. The year cable TV ballooned and news became a 24-hour drip. Whole industries flipped, old institutions cracked, new ones appeared overnight like someone hit install. Economists still argue about why global markets suddenly synchronized in 1988. Defense analysts note how intelligence agencies pivoted toward information dominance that same year. Language that didn't exist before. Tech historians call 1988 the quiet spark because so many modern systems trace back to something that changed that very year. It's like humanity took a sudden step forward without knowing why, and all of it sits directly on top of that solar spike and that weird NASA resonance deviation nobody ever explained. You can call it coincidence. But coincidences don't usually come in clusters, and they don't come in exact 24-year spacing unless something deeper is pulling the strings. 1988 didn't feel like a leap. It felt like a fix, a patch. Like reality updated itself quietly, smoothed out a glitch, and got ready for something bigger down the line. And 24 years later, right on schedule, the next shift hit. New Year's Eve 2012. People gathered in living rooms, in bars, in basements. Some joked about the Mayan calendar ending. Others held their breath. And when the clock struck midnight and nothing exploded, a wave of relief rolled across the world. Parents hugged their kids. Friends laughed it off. News anchors smirked. But behind all that relief, something else was happening. A feeling people couldn't explain at the time. This wasn't the end of the world, but something ended. And something new started. Because 2012 wasn't just a cultural panic. It was the close of the Mayan long count, a 5,125-year cycle ending on December 21st. For years leading up to it, people had strange dreams. They reported deja vu spikes and talked about time moving in ways that didn't feel normal. The whole planet seemed on edge, like everyone was waiting for a verdict. Scientifically, the sky agreed. NASA recorded the tail end of Solar Cycle 24, one of the most unpredictable cycles in decades. The sun kept throwing weird data, flares that didn't follow expected patterns, magnetic disturbances that didn't match forecasts. And down here on Earth, the signals were just as strange. Between 2011 and 2013, researchers logged subtle shifts in the Schumann resonance, the faint electromagnetic heartbeat of the planet. Some studies suggested new spikes in the spectrum. Others claimed nothing changed. But the debate alone tells you something caught science off guard. And while all eyes were glued to 2012 prophecies, governments quietly behaved like something might happen. FEMA ran nationwide grid-down scenario drills in 2011. Homeland Security assessed catastrophic solar event readiness. NASA circulated internal memos about CME threats, corona mass ejections that could wipe power grids. Nobody linked these to 2012 publicly, but the timing isn't subtle. Which brings us to the breadcrumb hidden in plain sight. There's a small, easily ignored document from the UN's 2012 Resilience Framework. Most of it reads like bureaucratic filler, risk language, best practices, development goals. But there's one line in the middle that stands out like a fire alarm with a dead battery. Global systems entering a period of increased vulnerability consistent with projected cycle thresholds. Cycle thresholds? No clarification. No footnote. It just slipped in and never discussed again. Another clue sits in a 2012 NASA bulletin about a near-missed CME, a massive solar blast that just barely missed Earth's orbit by a matter of days. If the timing had shifted slightly, 2012 might be remembered very differently. Most people saw 2012 as hype, but the people with access to the real data were preparing for something else entirely. And after the panic passed, the world didn't calm down. It tightened, like a screen locking after a software update. Global digital dependence skyrocketed. Cloud infrastructure ballooned. Social media went from distraction to life support system. Governments rushed into cybersecurity wars. Institutions hardened their grip, and humanity stepped into a future that ran faster, louder, and far more monitored than anything before it. Which brings us to the pattern most people never see. 2012 echoes 1988 in ways that shouldn't line up, but they do. Just like 1988, the world hit a rapid tech shift. Smartphones replacing computers, apps replacing conversations. Just like 88, global psychological tension spiked, sleep issues, anxiety, dream reports. Just like 88, institutions tightened, governments consolidating, media synchronizing, surveillance accelerating. And just like 88, fear faded into acceleration. The day after the panic ended, the world didn't pause, it sprinted, which leads to the trapdoor. The world didn't end in 2012, it updated, like a lock clicking into place. And if the pattern holds, if the cadence is real, then the next 24-year mark isn't coincidence, it's a countdown. So now that we've seen the lock-in, we need to talk about what the next cycle is pointing to. Because all signs lead to 1 year, and it's not that far away. ...2036 shows up where no normal year should. It slips into documents, forecasts, and timelines like a year someone didn't want to circle, but somehow couldn't avoid. If you look at enough data, it's like spotting the same stranger in a dozen different photographs from a dozen different cities. Always in the background, always pretending not to be there. And that's when you realize 2036 isn't a prediction, it's a pattern. Because every major cycle we've been following, from the sun to the earth to our own technology, all start bending toward the same window. So let's start with the sky. Solar physicists tracking solar cycle 26 already see the mid-2030s as its likely peak. Cycle peaks aren't just busy times. They are energetic spikes, periods where sunspots multiply, flares intensify, and radiation disturbances ripple through the solar system. The kind of turbulence that makes satellites nervous and power grids twitch. But the sun isn't the only thing winding up. Earth's magnetic field, our invisible shield, has been weakening for decades. One ESA analysis shows certain regions thinning faster than models predicted. and as the field weakens, it becomes more sensitive to solar temper tantrums. A weaker shield during a stronger cycle isn't just bad timing, it's a convergence. Then we look at Earth's angular momentum, how the planet's rotation subtly speeds up or slows down like a giant breathing clock. Some geophysicists see a wobble forming that lines up eerily close to the mid-2030s. It's small, it's quiet, but cycles don't need to be loud to matter. They just need to be consistent. And while the sky and the Earth hum their way to 2036, our technology is doing the same thing. Quantum computing roadmaps from multiple companies all stop around 2035 to 2037. Not because innovation ends, but because that's the point where everything changes. New architectures, new materials, new thresholds, a sharp line between before and after. AI roadmaps echo that same window. Defense contracts for next-gen systems cluster around the mid-2030s. FCC spectrum transitions, the stuff that determines how our devices talk, shift around 2035. Even private aerospace timelines, the companies playing with satellites, moon bases, and off-world infrastructure seem to arrive at similar years. It's like the future keeps pointing at the same dot on the calendar. If you step back, it looks like a countdown drawn by different hands. NOAA's Solar Max forecasts, ESA's magnetic field mapping, AI and quantum tech roadmaps, FCC long-range spectrum shifts, aerospace mission planning. Different systems, different fields, different motives, but the same destination. Which brings us to the part nobody pays attention to. Inside a RAND Corporation report about global risk planning, there's a single line, barely visible, listing 2036 scenario testing. No context, no explanation. Just a year tucked into a list that doesn't seem to fit. Meanwhile, a forgotten NASA trajectory file for a mission that never launched quietly references 2036 orbital consideration. Again, no details, just a breadcrumb. And one DoD procurement plan ends its cycle in 2037, with language hinting at post-threshold technologies. You don't use a phrase like that unless you expect an environment where the old rules stop applying. Even patents tell the same story. A handful of breakthrough technologies expire in 2036. It's as if inventions filed a decade ago were aimed at a world that doesn't exist yet. And here's where the pattern starts to click. 1988, a tech leap. 2012, a consciousness and digital lock-in. 2036, the next step in the same rhythm. Solar activity spikes in each. Tech leaps in each. Human psychology shifts in each one. Institutions tighten in all of them. It's a 24-year heartbeat running through the past, straight into the future. 2012 felt like the world locking in. 2036 feels like the world loading something. And that leads us to the trapdoor. What if the countdown didn't begin with us, but with the sky? To understand where the pattern goes next, we need to look beneath our feet, above our heads, and inside our own minds. When the planet shifts, humanity shifts with it. We just pretend that we're in charge. Because here's the uncomfortable truth. We're basically ants arguing over Wi-Fi passwords while the sun decides whether to cook our entire grid. And the planet doesn't ask for a permission slip. It just moves. So let's break this down. The three machines running beneath everything. The sun, the earth, and the part nobody wants to talk about, the mind. First off, the sun. The star we orbit like a clingy X that could end civilization with a single bad day. Sunspots come and go in cycles, big magnetic bruises on the solar surface. Flares erupt like cosmic tantrums, and CMEs, coronal mass ejections, well, those are the real problem. Imagine the sun sneezing at every power grid on Earth, passes out like it saw a ghost. NASA and NOAA predictions for solar cycle 26 suggest a mid-2030s peak that could be energetically interesting, which is scientists speak for, we don't want to say the word yikes, but we're thinking it. That's the first machine humming behind 2036. Now the second machine, the Earth's magnetic field, our cosmic bodyguard, our invisible helmet. Except the helmet is thinning. ESA measurements show parts of the field weakening faster than expected. Some scientists think it's a slow drift. Others think it's the early stage of a bigger shift. Nobody agrees, which is always a fantastic sign. The North Magnetic Pole is sprinting towards Siberia like it's late for a meeting. This kind of pole drift used to take centuries. Now it's happening within human lifetimes. Geophysicists call sudden shifts geomagnetic jerks, which feels like an unfair insult. But honestly, if Earth is jerking around, then it fits. And in subtle changes to Earth's rotation, the angular momentum wobble, and you get another system whispering, hey, something's coming. And then there's the third machine, the one people roll their eyes at until they start experiencing it themselves, the mind. Not just yours, ours. This is where the Schumann resonance comes in. That faint electromagnetic hum created between Earth's surface and the ionosphere. Some researchers swear the resonance has shifted. Others swear it hasn't. Both sides swear the other is completely insane. But here's what has changed. Global emotional waves. People reporting the same dreams on the same nights. Spikes in anxiety across entire populations. Collective off days where people say, why does the world feel weird today? Psychologists have documented it. Neuroscientists have theories for it. And fringe researchers? They've been yelling about it since dial-up internet. Could this be the noosphere? A global mind? A feedback loop between us and the planet? Well, science doesn't confirm it, but it doesn't totally rule it out either. Which means we're in the gray zone that actual discovery always lives in. So let's be clear. What's science? Well, magnetic field weakening, solar cycle predictions, brain EMF correlation studies. Then what's emerging theory? Human cognition affected by geophysical stress, mass dream clustering, collective emotional resonance. And what about what's fringe? Well, consciousness grids, planetary mind fields, reality harmonics. So we're not selling woo, we're following breadcrumbs. Here's where the hair on the back of your neck stands up. There are moments, documented moments, when all three machines hiccup at the same time. A solar flare, a geomagnetic wobble, and a spike in human emotional reporting. Not every time, not even often, but enough to raise eyebrows for people who don't usually raise eyebrows. In 1988, it happened. In 2012, it happened again. And the next window? Yep, you guessed it. The mid-2030s. If these machines shift together, reality doesn't glitch, it updates. So if the machines are humming, who's listening? Who's preparing? And who already knew the pattern before we did? Every cycle has a winner, and it's never the people trying to pay rent. Because while the rest of us just try to get through the day without losing our minds or our Wi-Fi, there are groups, powerful groups, who treat these cycles like weather forecasts. They watch them, they plan around them, and quietly build the future while we're still trying to understand the present. Let's break down the three power centers. First up, the military-industrial complex. And yes, they absolutely have a front row seat. DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, has quietly funded solar event resilience since the early 2010s. That's the polite way of saying what happens when the sun throws a tantrum and the grid taps out. The Office of Naval Research has its own programs too, modeling what they call high-impact geomagnetic disturbances. Basically, how do ships, subs, and satellites survive if Earth's magnetic field decides to take a sick day? And then there's Space Force, the branch people made fun of until they realized it was literally created to watch the sky for threats bigger than missiles. Space weather monitoring, orbital hardening, solar threat detection. Suddenly, not so funny. If 2036 is a cycle peak window, this is the group that wants a front row seat and a contingency plan. 2. The tech titans. These guys don't wait for the future, they build it early and patent the doors. AI and quantum computing are racing toward that 2035-2037 horizon. You can see it in the timelines. Every roadmap from Google, IBM, Microsoft hits a wall around those years. Not a dead end, more like the edge of a cliff they're preparing to jump off. Cloud infrastructure is being hardened too. Data centers upgrading shielding, power backups, cooling systems, all aimed at a future environment nobody fully explains. And guess what? A ton of those patents expire in 2036. That's not a coincidence, that's choreography. 3. Governments and space agencies. This is where it gets interesting. FEMA openly publishes plans for severe solar EMP events. They don't do this because they're bored. They do it because someone in the chain told them it's worth modeling. NASA, ESA, and other agencies run resilience simulations that line up right around, yep, the mid-2030s. The UN has global resilience agendas that quietly extend to 2035. Risk models, energy transition targets, grid hardening deadlines. Almost all of them end just shy of 2037. So when timelines converge like this, it's either A, the world's smartest people all panicked at the same time, or B, the cycle is already on their radar. And kicker, none of this is hidden. FOIA documents showing federal interest in solar threat scenarios. Contracts for grid hardening scheduled to complete by 2036. Patent filings for quantum-resistant hardware. Budget line items tied to environmental uncertainty windows. UN frameworks quietly framing 2035 as the global transition point. So these aren't conspiracies, these are receipts. Let's ask the question nobody likes. Who benefits from a world bracing for instability? The defense world? Yep, absolutely. Fear is great for funding. Tech giants? Oh, 100%. A future filled with uncertainty is the best environment to sell must-have cloud infrastructure. And the governments? Oh, they love cycles. Cycles justify control, surveillance, emergency powers, temporary measures that never expire. And who gains the most if the public expects something big around 2036? All of them. Because uncertainty is profitable, and predictable chaos is a market. Inside one bland, redacted federal document about long-range risk frameworks, there's a single line that reads, Phase 2 readiness to be completed by FY 2036. Phase 2 of what? There's no explanation, no definition, just a deadline tied to the 1 year that keeps showing up everywhere else. Sometimes the truth isn't buried. It's just printed in a font boring enough that nobody reads it. So what if the next reset isn't just natural, but managed? Not controlled entirely, but timed, guided, leveraged. Because if the sky provides the cycle, someone down here may be using it. And the strangest part isn't the systems or the machines or even the institutions. It's us. The mind might be part of the machine, and yeah, I know how that sounds, but hang on, because once you start looking at the data, the idea stops feeling like woo and starts feeling like an uncomfortable possibility. Because if the sun and earth follow cycles, what if we do too? So let's start with the thing people love to argue about. Every few months, thousands of people online wake up convinced the world is slightly off. Logos look weird. Movie lines feel wrong. Childhood memories don't line up. People swear entire timelines shifted while they were sleeping. Most shrug this off as bad memory. And sure, for some, it actually is. But then you see the clusters. Hundreds, sometimes thousands, reporting the same anomaly within the same 48-hour window. It's not proof of anything, but it's not nothing either. On Reddit, Our Dreams and Our Glitch in the Matrix have entire threads where people report eerily similar dreams on the same nights. Different ages, different countries, same imagery, same emotions, and the same timing. Psychologists call these mass schema activations. Fringe researchers call them noospheric ripples. Regular people like you and I call them, okay, well, that's weird. Then there are global emotion spikes. Days when the whole world feels heavy, or anxious, or strangely nostalgic for no reason. Psych researchers track these patterns. Some align with major news events, but others, they don't. It's like something bigger is tugging on the collective wiring. And here's where things get nerdy. There's an old idea called the noosphere, basically a global mind layer that forms when enough humans think, feel, and interact together. Then there's Rupert Sheldrake's morphic field theory, which suggests memory and behavior aren't just in brains, they resonate in fields. Now, mainstream science doesn't buy this, but here's the weird part. Academic papers exist exploring whether human emotional patterns can sync with environmental forces. Some studies show correlations between geomagnetic changes and spikes in anxiety, confusion, even mass dream recall. It's not proof, but again, it's enough to light up a researcher's eyebrows. Meanwhile, simulation theorists, not the internet ones, the academic ones, have started using new language. State updates, data layer harmonics, cycle-aligned behavior shifts. These aren't Marvel terms. They are published near the quantum computing space by people with way too many PhDs to be writing fan fiction. The idea? If consciousness is tied to the underlying structure of reality, then changes in that structure might ripple into our minds. Not as hallucinations, but as feedback. So let's ground all this. Reddit timestamps proving mass dream clusters. You have peer-reviewed research on geomagnetic stress and cognition. You've got papers on Sheldrake's morphic resonance hypothesis. And global dream surveys showing synchronized patterns. You also have studies showing mass cognition anomalies during solar events. Again, none of this is proof, but they're absolutely patterns. And here's the part that gets strange. There are documented cases where human memory anomalies, like solar activity and geomagnetic instability, happened at the same time. Not always, but enough to make it a pattern. Solar flare? Dream cluster. Magnetic wobble? Mandela effect spike. Cultural shock events? Collective emotional waves. Geophysical stress? Synchronized nightmares. When the machines wobble, we wobble. Which brings us to the uncomfortable line we've been circling this entire episode. So let's be brutally clear. Psychology. Memory is fallible. Dreams sync culturally. Suggestion spreads fast. Then you have emerging theory. Human cognition may be sensitive to EMF and geomagnetic fluctuation. You also have fringe philosophy. We're all nodes in a planetary mind. Reality shifts when the cycle resets. So we're not claiming any of this is the answer. We're saying it's part of the landscape, and it keeps showing up right on the cycle's rhythm. If consciousness responds to the cycle, what happens when the cycle resets? Does memory shift? Does perception shift? Or do we shift? What if 2036 isn't something you watch happen, but something you feel? You're smart, and because of that, you deserve clarity, not hype, not hand-waving, and definitely not fear dressed up as mystery. So let's slow down for a minute and look at the pieces on the table the way an investigator would. Because some of this holds, but some of it doesn't, and some of it sits in that uncomfortable gray space where science hasn't quite caught up yet. So first, the stuff no serious scientist argues about. What's proven? Solar data? It's 100% real. NASA and NOAA track sunspots, flares, and solar cycles with decades of receipts. Solar cycle 26 is expected to peak in the mid-2030s. That's just physics. What about magnetic drift? Well, that's also proven. The ESA swarm satellites have been watching the North Magnetic Pole sprint across the Arctic like it's late for class. The field is weakening in certain regions. That's not fringe, that's measured. There's no debate, no drama, just data. Now for the middle category, stuff that isn't proven but has enough evidence behind it that you'd be reckless to ignore it. Let's talk tech cycles. Completely plausible. Whether or not the universe is running a 24-year reality update, tech industries are moving in coordinated waves. Quantum and AI roadmaps clustering around 2035 and 2037? Well, that's a real trend. Whether it's coincidence or timing, we don't know. But the correlation is there. What about psychological shifts? Well, that's documented. People do report mass emotional spikes, dream clusters, shared off days. Psychologists recognize this phenomenon, not as supernatural, but as collective cognition responding to stress, news, and environmental factors. Again, plausible, not supernatural, not proven, but very real. Now let's step into the fog. What's unproven? Well, the new sphere? Not proven. Interesting idea, there's some data, but there's lots of debate with no consensus. What about morphic fields? Well, that's a beautiful concept. Some experiments suggest patterning. Mainstream science remains unconvinced. And what about consciousness reacting to planetary cycles? Well, that's also not proven. But environmental EMF fluctuations do have measurable effects on mood and cognition. So the door isn't closed, it's just not fully open. So this is emergent theory territory. Treat it with curiosity, not conclusion. So how about what's completely debunked? Well, this part matters. Some claims around this topic are just, they're wrong. Is Schumann resonance skyrocketing? No, that's debunked. Misread graphs, low frequency noise, or people misinterpreting spectrograms. Fake 2036 predictions? Well, there are plenty. Old YouTube clips, made up planet warnings, bad numerology dressed up as prophecy. None of that is part of our investigation. We don't do cheap fear. We do receipts. We show you both sides, so you can think critically instead of panic. And here's the part most creators avoid entirely. Cycles are useful for people in power, always have been. Y2K proved that. Billions in funding, massive infrastructure overhauls, new agencies, new contracts. Most of the catastrophe didn't happen, but the panic reshaped the entire digital world and made a lot of people very, very rich. Fear creates budgets. Uncertainty creates control. Instability creates opportunity. So if 2036 is on the horizon, you can bet someone is already shaping the story to benefit from it. This doesn't mean the cycle isn't real. It just means someone's ready to ride it. So we may not have proof of a reset, but we have a pattern, a real one, a measurable one, a repeatable one. And when patterns build, you don't ignore them, you pay attention. So what does this mean for us, actual people living inside the pattern? Not the governments, not tech giants, not the defense labs, just us. The ones raising kids, paying bills, trying to sleep at night while the world gets louder. Well, let's talk about that next. Let's go back to that kid at the kitchen table that we started this episode with. The one asking why the world feels different this year. What if that wasn't a silly question? What if he's noticing something adults train themselves to ignore? Because cycles don't just change headlines, they change people. Let's talk about what that looks like without the sci-fi gloss. Just the real stuff that hits real families. So, human consequences. If 2036 lands the way 1988 and 2012 did, the first signs won't be dramatic, they'll be personal. People feeling out of sync, sleep patterns slipping, short tempers, more moments of, I don't know why, but something feels off. Call it intuition. Call it stress. Call it biology reacting to a planet we barely understand. Whatever it is, people feel these shifts before anyone explains them. Then you're going to have emotional effects. We've seen this movie before. Ask people who lived through 1988. That was the year things suddenly felt fast. Ask people about 2012. That was the year everything got heavy. Cycles hit the nervous system first. More anxiety, more dreams, more emotional swings. Not supernatural, just humans reacting to big unseen changes. If 2036 follows the same rhythm, expect an emotional climate change long before anything physical happens. And what about tech mismatches? Well, every cycle pushes tech a tier higher than people are ready for. 1988 gave us the digital skeleton. 2012 made the digital world unavoidable. 2036? It might deliver systems that move too fast for normal brains to keep up with. AI that feels alive. Devices that anticipate behavior. Infrastructure that updates itself whether we understand it or not. The mismatch won't be fear, it'll be fatigue. Regular people trying to adapt to tools that jump ahead without warning. And then we have the grid vulnerability. This is the quiet one. During big cycle peaks, power grids get twitchy. GPS drifts. Communications lag. Short outages appear in clusters that don't make the news, but absolutely affect daily life. Not apocalypse, just instability. And instability wears people down. Speaking of instability, what about the memory instability? Well, this is where things get weird and important. If human cognition responds to environmental stress, for example, solar, magnetic, psychological, then memory doesn't break and instead it slips. Not full Mandela effect territory, just more, wait, didn't that used to fill in the blank? More tiny inconsistencies that make you question your own timeline. 1988 had this. 2012 had it too. Ask people who were paying attention, they'll tell you the world felt different in a way they still can't fully explain. 2036 might bring that back, only sharper. And then we have the cultural shifts. Cycles always leave fingerprints on culture. 1988 reshaped identity. 2012 reshaped reality. 2036 could reshape perspective. A global mood shift where people start questioning not just the world, but how the world works. And culture doesn't change cleanly. It changes like a tide, pulling you before you notice you're moving. And then we've got to talk about the overlooked overlap. Look at the last two cycle years. Families changed routines. Kids sensed tension before adults named it. And people quietly admitted that something felt different. A reset of the background conditions of life. That's what a cycle does. It doesn't slam the door. It nudges it open and lets the new world seep in. Maybe the update already started, and we're the last to notice. And that brings us to the last step. Not prediction, but reflection. Because whatever 2036 is, we're already walking toward it. So let's take a moment to look inward instead of out at the sky. Because cycles aren't just numbers or charts or ancient calendars. They're the way the world whispers that nothing stays still. Not the sun, not the earth, certainly not us. And maybe that's the part we've never really talked about. Not what 2036 might do to the world, but instead what it might do to the people trying to live in it. The parent at the kitchen table. The kid asking questions we don't have answers for. The families who felt 1988, even if they didn't understand it. The people who lived through 2012 and came out the other side feeling just a little different. Maybe these cycles aren't about endings. Maybe they're about turning points. Moments where the world shifts just enough to ask us who we are now. And maybe the real reset isn't the sun, or the magnetic field, or even the tech curve. Maybe it's in us, how we pay attention, how we adapt, how we stay human when the world gets louder and faster and stranger. Look, I don't know what 2036 will bring. Nobody does. But I do know this. We've lived through shifts before. we'll live through this one too. In the fact you're here, still curious, still grounded, and still searching for the truth, well, that tells me you'll navigate whatever comes next better than most. Because awareness doesn't stop the wave, but it sure as heck helps you ride it. If this episode hit you like it hit me while I was making it, I thank you for sticking with it. I'm Ralph, and this is Divergent Files. If you're still here, you're one of us now. And here's the thing. 2036 might be the next cycle on the map, but it's not the first. There were resets before us, ancient ones, buried ones, and they're the next story we're going to dig into next. Until next time, stay curious, keep questioning, and remember, no matter what they tell you, the truth is still out there.